Thank you, Lord, that you have provided a way that we can say that. That whatever else is going on in our lives, you are still there. We can truly say, take everything else. All that really matters is you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, my prayer, I always pray open our hearts to hear your word, and certainly that is my desire. That's why I stand up here. But I pray that the hurting will find comfort in the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think every one of us would say, most people would say, that we want peace.
Yes.
Although there are some people who don't seem to. They seem to live to stir up conflict wherever they go. If nothing's going on, they'll start something.
Right.
But we want peace, most of us. And sometimes, you know, we want peace in our own lives. Sometimes the internal conflicts that we go through can be the worst, the most disruptive thing that steals our peace. We will often rob ourselves of our peace by what's going on in our heads.
That's right.
Now, sometimes the Lord can use that as a warning to get our attention. If we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, sometimes that's operating as a principle that when we don't have peace, we need to find out why.
Right.
But we prefer to have that peace. We want that peace in the lives of those that we love. I want that for all of you.
Amen.
My heart has been heavy, not so much for my own situation, but just knowing what everybody's going through this week. And it doesn't seem to be letting up. It seems to be getting worse. I know people are hurting. And I struggled today to provide some measure of that peace, of that comfort, or some bit of wisdom that would help everybody to find it. Thank you. We would we'd like to see peace in our world. We want to stop the suffering. We want to end the evil things that we see going on all around us. We cannot forget, however, that there's only one way that happens. The only way that happens is with Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
What do we mean anyway by peace? Do we mean the absence of conflict? External or internal, wherever the case may be? Do we mean the absence of clamor and frantic activity? I think a lot of us would like that at times. Do we mean quietness and tranquility? Sometimes that's the way we use the word. But then why do we ask for peace and quiet? Because we know that they're not the same thing. But sometimes quiet isn't peaceful at all if we wish that there was somebody around making noise.
Right.
Priscilla was just talking about that today. I know people are feeling that today. Sometimes quiet is not peaceful at all. But sometimes we try to get it by enforcing it. We tell the kids to shut up. We try in situations where there's something bad going on, we try to make it stop, we try to force it to stop. And sometimes you need to do that, sometimes that's necessary. problem is that enforced peace is only temporary. It's only going to last until somebody can figure out how to start up whatever it is they want it again.
Exactly.
We try to deal with it by negotiation. That's a little better. Are we trying to set up our environment in such a way that we invite it in? And that's not a bad thing to do. We try to create an environment that we consider peaceful. Sometimes that really does help. And we try to engage in activities with the same idea that it's going to bring us a measure of peace. But there's one place. There's one place where we can find true and lasting peace. I'm going to read a few things today, but the verse that is on the screen is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful."
Amen.
Jesus is speaking to his disciples here on the night just before his arrest. He's trying to pour into them the things that they're going to need to get them through these next few weeks and prepare them for the life that they're going to have after he has departed for good. And he starts out by washing their feet. And he says, "You ought to be doing this for one another."
That's right.
He has that famous Last Supper that we celebrate. That's in this time frame as well. John records some different details than some of the others do. And Jesus is now predicting his betrayal, and Judas has gone off to do it. And they are apparently, as he's saying these things, en route to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to pray and go through that agony, and where they're going to come and arrest him. He gives them a number of a teaching. This is my favorite passage in the whole Bible, I think. This is from about the end of 13 through chapter 17 when he prays. But he says this: "I give you a new commandment. Love each other the same way that I love you." He speaks of his oneness with Father God. And he makes the promises to us that when we're operating in his name, when we're operating under his authority, whatever we ask, he's going to do. He says, "I'm going to be taken away from you." And in the midst of that, but wait, there's something, I'm going to tell you something good. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be your helper, your comforter, your teacher, and your guide into the truth. Calls you the Spirit of Truth.
Amen.
And that comes then right before he talks about this peace. That too is an operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, bringing to us his peace. And he says it's not the same thing as the world's peace. You see, the world's, God's peace comes from within us.
Amen.
The world's peace is determined by circumstances.
It's temporary.
God's peace spreads by its very nature. The world's peace has to be contrived and maintained.
That's right.
God's peace is freely given to us.
Amen.
The world's peace comes at a price.
Yes, that's true.
The world belligerently says, "You want a piece of me?" God says, "You want a piece of me."
Yes.
True peace is foreign to the world. Romans 3, chapter 17, quoting from Isaiah, says, "The way of peace they have not known." Guard your heart Jesus now gives a command, and it's an active command. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. In other words, you have something to say about it. Now, it's not that we're not going to have trouble. Jesus himself said that we're going to have trouble. He said that in the context of persecution, but we know that we live in a troubled world. Stuff's going to happen.
That's right.
And we're all quite familiar with the stuff that happens.
Yes, we are.
One can certainly have trouble without being troubled. Now, our emotional reactions to things, don't misunderstand me. They're normal, and they're given to us by God. Even God has emotions, therefore our emotions are not wrong. And it's right and it's healthy to grieve when we experience loss and when trouble comes. And it takes time, and don't let anybody try to tell you that's not right or take it away from you. It's okay.
Amen.
But there's an active component then to embracing the peace that comes from God, that comes from the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
We have to grab hold of it.
Amen.
We have to make it part of us.
True.
We've got to choose his peace. And I see that. I see that in this church. I see that. And it's a struggle. It's not something we're always able to do perfectly. But I see that in the way that Cindy has handled the things that have gone in her life. I see that in the way that Priscilla is dealing with the challenges that she has. Yeah, it's tough, and yeah, sometimes you break down, and sometimes you cry, but in the end, you choose God's peace. Because you know your source. Don't let your heart be troubled, and he says, don't let it be afraid. Whenever I read this, I immediately thought about another verse that in another one of my favorite passages. 1 John 4:18, where it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear.
That's right. Amen.
When we are able to trust in God's love,
Amen. Then
it takes away the fear of what might be or what might happen. It takes away the fear that somehow he's going to leave us. But our love then, it's also an outward thing, because that love that he gives us, we're then able to take and give to other people, and it comes out in our actions, and we're no longer afraid to show that love, no longer afraid that we might get hurt, no longer afraid that something might happen.
Amen.
Because we know that there is somebody who loves us.
That's right.
Unconditionally.
Amen.
More than anybody else could in the first place.
Amen.
We can stop worrying about rejection because we know that we have a God who loves us and who will never reject us.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
His spirit, Paul says to Timothy, is not one of fear. It's not one of timidity. But power and love and discipline.
That's right.
Our fear can disable us more thoroughly than any physical malady ever could.
That's true.
But we don't have to let it. Trust in him. When we trust in him, we don't fear. Yeah, reality may be grim, but he is the one who created reality.
Amen.
He defines reality. We serve the God of the universe. And he loves us.
Amen.
I'll never get over how awesome that is. How amazing that is.
Amen. That's true.
Peace is precious.
Yes, it is.
Peace comes from God. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. And his sacrifice is what has made it possible
Yes. For
us to have peace. Over and over again throughout the epistles, he's called the God of Peace. first thing he said as he appeared to the disciples, no doubt because in a couple of places it tells us that they it kind of scared them. And I guess, you know, you can kind of forgive him for that. I know he said he was coming back, but when somebody that's supposed to be dead shows up in the middle of the room, yeah, okay, might be a little frightened by that. But the first thing he says is, peace be to you. It's also a common greeting in just about all the letters. But we also need peace with God. And peace with God comes by faith. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says in part, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
We are reconciled to him by his sacrifice, verse 10 says in that same chapter, and we're able to have peace with him.
Yes.
Yeah, our world is not very peaceful. Chaos seems to be everywhere you look. Turn on the news, you see it. People fighting each other. I'm amazed by this, but there are still places that there are famines. And you know what? They're not famines because there's not enough food. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 23 says, abundant food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice. The reason why we have people starving is because of other people abusing their power.
That's right.
Amen.
It doesn't mean we shouldn't help, but we need to understand the source of the problem. We see revolutions around us. We see persecution of Christians is an all-time high. We see groups of people trying to wipe out other groups of people completely off the face of the earth. Our own country is so divided, so deeply divided right now. I wonder, of course, you know, I wouldn't lie back then. I don't think anybody else was either. But I wonder if this is the most divided we've been since perhaps the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And each faction assumes that the other one assumes the worst of the others.
That's true.
Now, we can't ignore human nature. The fact of the matter is, we do tend to be driven by selfishness and what suits our own interests.
That's true.
And we do tend to move towards those that are like us and away from those who are not like us. Those are things that we have to deal with. But our opinions don't change the truth. And yes, there are things that are evil. And yes, there are some people that are evil. But I wish that at least at the individual level, at least among our friends and acquaintances and our families, we could at least, if we believe that somebody is wrong, can we not believe that they're wrong for the right reasons? Can we not believe that at least there's a motivation for why people believe what they believe that's good? That's not always the case. Don't misunderstand me. But let's start by assuming the best till we find out different.
Amen.
Our relationships are broken. None of us are immune to that. It's only a matter of degree. And the causes range from the natural, somebody goes home because it's their time, to the malevolent, somebody's angry and actually out to do harm. And it's the greatest source of pain for us because God made us for relationships. He made all of those relationships that we have to teach us about relationships with him.
Amen.
And so when those relationships get broken, it hurts. So what do we do about it? The first thing we do is we go to the source. And we begin to make good choices. You know, Priscilla talked today about being obedient, even in the midst of the challenges that we have, in the midst of the tough times that we're having. We still need to choose what's right.
Amen.
Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? I mean, probably a whole sermon just on the topic of the flesh. It's not simply our physical excesses or pleasures, although that certainly has a lot to do with it. But I think one way to help us understand this might be to replace the word flesh there with self. The mind set on the self is death. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because his word is life. And when that's where we put our focus, doesn't mean our circumstances change, but the way that we process our circumstances can change.
Amen. That's true.
In Galatians, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and that's all born out of 5:22, that whole list there. Peace is one of those fruits. But he tells us that when we make our request known to him, we have that verse that we always read. And I won't read it again. But that verse that we always read out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. What does it say? It says, I bet you can quote it. It says, make your request known to God with thanksgiving. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but make your request known to the Lord with thanksgiving. And I'm quoting very roughly. But what does it say in verse 7? It says, his peace will guard your heart. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus.
That's true. Amen.
When we take our focus off of ourselves, when we take our focus off of what's going on and take it to him, then our perspective changes. And verse 8 there is very helpful as well, because it says, spend your time thinking about the things that are good and lovely and right and true, not the things that are bad.
Right.
If you spend all your time thinking about what's wrong, guess what? You're probably going to be miserable.
Yep.
Spend your time thinking about what's right. And do your environment that way. If you're having a struggle with peace, you know, it's not a bad thing to put those peaceful things around you. Priscilla talked about singing worship music. That's a good thing. In my home growing up, a lot of times mom and dad would just put on worship music and let the worship music play all the time. Because the devil don't like that. You don't want to hang around that. And it changes, it's flowing into your spirit too. And his peace, as we talked about briefly when I started out on this, his peace can be a guide for you. If you're used to having it and suddenly you don't have it, then you want to question, why don't I have it? What's going on? Where is the factor that's taking it away? Is it a warning, or am I on the off track somewhere? But Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts.
Amen.
To which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. We're approaching Thanksgiving. It kind of goes in with that whole thing. He said, you know, even in the request that we make, be thankful. When we're thinking about the good things that he's done,
amen,
it's going to make us a lot healthier.
That's true.
And then, when you have shored up your own spirit, when you're able to operate in that peace, give out of what you've been given.
Right. Amen.
Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And the interesting thing about that word there, peacemakers, a lot of different things have been done with it, but it's not a very common word. And the only other place that you see it is in Colossians 1:20. There's a variation on the word in 1:20, and it talks about the peace that we have through the blood of the cross. To be a peacemaker is to spread God's message of peace with God through salvation. That's how you be a peacemaker. That peace that we have flows to others when we have peace within ourselves.
That's true.
Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see God. No one will see the Lord, actually, is what that said in the particular version I'm reading. Where others are concerned, it's true that you can only do so much.
Yeah.
And Paul acknowledges that in 12:18. He says, if possible, in Romans 12:18, if possible, insofar as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. In other words, you can't change what they do. You don't want to change what you do.
That's true.
So you do what you can do to be at peace. Because he says we're called to peace. Finally, as we get ready to wrap it up here, one of my friends from a men's Bible study that I used to go to, I'd love to go to again, but just not possible right now. But one of my friends from that Bible study always says easy, does hard. Because it's easy, and that's true. It's easy for me to stand up here and say it. But it's harder for me and for everybody else to actually do it. But our peace comes through our Lord, the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
It is found in relationship with Him. And if you will seek it out, it will preserve you even when your world is not peaceful.
It's true.
Amen.
And you can take that peace and you can turn it into joy by sharing it with those around you.
That's true.
And I want to share one more thought with you from the words of Jesus in John 16:33, and I did put that on the screen. And I quoted it from the Common English Bible because I like the way it reads. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You have conquered the world.
Amen.
And you will be coming back at some point to take possession of what belongs to you. And we look forward to that day, Lord. May it come quickly. But in the meantime, we have work to do. Show us how to be ambassadors of your peace in this hurting world. In Jesus' name, amen.